back on the Fans, BT and Sal. Sal is off. Wishing my partner good luck. Lord knows he complained about this little minor eye surgery enough. We'll have a little fun with Sal or at Sal's expense later. 3RQ coming up. Hop's going to jump in on some stuff. Obviously, if you missed the first hour, free Odyssey app. A lot of Yankee stuff with the Boone conversation, who was really kind enough. I mean, listen, you know, it goes without saying. Certainly appreciate Aaron coming in. I mean, it would have been cool if he jumped in on the phone. But to, you know, get in his car and come down by himself and to spend, you know, an hour after the show with us, just really, really appreciate that. It's a good look. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. And listen, it's better when you get to know somebody and you can, you know, get some intel on some stuff to make sure that you're not misrepresenting things. Now it's up to us then to determine if we're getting fed the right stuff. But I think that Boone is a straight shooter. I've always thought that, and I've always liked Aaron. He's not perfect, but nobody is. And you know what's not perfect are these stupid Pete Alonso negotiations. Now, Amazing Day was quite interesting. We talked about this, and I tweeted about this when Stearns and Cohen got booed a little bit. I also said, I said this to Sal on Monday. I said, you know, I said what Cohen said when he took the microphone was about as straightforward and as transparent and as raw, really, when you think about a big team situation. Really, I think I can't remember the last time an owner was that blunt assessing something that important to the fans. Like, he's telling you, hey, probably the reason why this isn't done is because this guy's agent is feeding us, this is exactly what he said, these ridiculous contracts that I am not comfortable with, and we're not having it. Well, what's happened now, according to John Heyman, is that the Mets and Pete Alonso have reengaged here, and I think that that's good. I mean, listen, there's two very different schools on this. There's the macro, no, I would not give Pete big money, certainly. No, I would not want to invest in Pete as a one-dimensional, you know, 30-year-old first baseman where there's been a complete recalibration of the position, you know, pertaining to the free agent market over the years, especially if you're a righty fielder, righty hitter, strikes out a lot, averages low, not a great body. I know he's strong as a bull, but I don't, like, it's not a bouncy body. It's not doesn't really have a lot of range. Like, he's not a loose, limbered athlete, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So I don't know how he's going to really hold up. You know my reservations, but damn it, figure this thing out for a year or two. I mean, come on. Just give him 1 year, and I've never said don't do this. Give him 1 year, let him opt out, figure it out. Figure it out. Are you really going to mess around and risk Mark Vientos, who's a stud? I love him. Love him. He's feeling himself, too, with the hair. He's bleaching him. You know, he's got a little style, having a good offseason at the Knick games. Are you really going to risk Mark Vientos, you know, hitting behind Juan Soto with the weight of the world on him as he goes around the league for the second time and people make adjustments to him? Are you really going to put the young man in that kind of a mental space? Oh, yeah, and by the way, while you're at it, Mark, grab that first baseman's mitt. Figure out how to play first base. I know you've been there a little bit, but start taking ground balls. Not that he can't be decent over there. I'm not saying that, but it's just something else he's got to incorporate into a routine, which gets him off the routine that had him break through a year ago and looked like an absolute superstar in October. That's how impressed we all were. He was really good in the regular season, but man, when things get more frenetic and heartbeats go up and the intensity is ratcheted up in October and your heartbeat slows down as a young player, you're the real deal. That is my evaluation. That's why you're the real deal. So why mess with the real deal? I wouldn't do it. Figure it out. Unless you get Vlad in the next week or two, whatever it might be. I'm not, now hear me correctly here, because I do believe in Stearns, and I've said many times, let him cook. And so far Cohen has, and I like that. I really do. You got Soto, retain Manaea. All right. But the hole behind Juan Soto right now is potentially so big that it's reckless, it's cavalier. And I think at this point, it's patently unnecessary. Let me ask you a question. You think Pete Alonso wants to come back to the Mets? Do you? And God, I'm so tired of talking about this. I am, but I'm not. Like, I am, honestly, but I'm not. It's incredibly intriguing to me, but it is a little repetitive. Like, it's kind of the same stuff. I guess what's different here, why I'm talking about it today, is that there's been re-engagement, which means either Pete is beginning to soften his position, Cohen's beginning to soften his position a bit, or jointly and simultaneously, they are both thawing on some of their positions, which could lead to a deal. Figure it out. Figure it out. I mean, can you imagine? Because you know who the Mets open up with at home? That's Toronto. And you don't make decisions like this based on sentiment. Not that it doesn't, we've talked about this so many times. Not that it doesn't creep into an extent. I mean, it's one of the checkpoints, one of the, I guess, elements of criteria to an extent, because it equates to money. Because many of you love Pete. And the more Pete's on the team, the more you're probably, I mean, now so you're going to go watch Soto anyway. But you know what I mean? As he's chasing 300 and 400 and maybe 500 home runs, that's money downstream. So, of course, you have to incorporate that on some level. It should never be number one or two. Can you play? Are you still in your prime? Are you a great fit for our team? Baseball things have to take precedence. Must. But can you imagine? And Hoff, I got to pull you in for a sec. Could you imagine? I think they start seven games. Even if they're like four, even if they have a winning record, the home opener. And now batting for the Toronto Blue Jays, DH or first baseman, Pete Alonso. Can you just take yourself there? And you'll probably be there. And I'll be watching. Take yourself there. Now, that alone, the optics and that moment, that's not what drives you to a deal. But it doesn't have to get there. This is not going to be 5 years or 6 years or 4 years. Figure it out. You know, just don't make Pete come crawling back, begging with his tail between his legs. Just throw him a little bone, tickle him a little bit, incentivize him a little bit, and pencil him in number four behind Soto. I mean, don't you think you have to get this done at this point? Off. How do you not?
I mean, listen, it's really, and this is coming down to Steve Cohen now. I think this is where you, unfortunately, you kind of push David Stearns to the side and say, listen, I want the player. Because I've made it known that we're working with and we want him back, but the situation is Boris. So let's make it happen. But I don't know if it's going to get done. And I honestly, BT, I would be disappointed if Toronto comes to town and Pete Alonso's there. I don't know how opening day is going to feel to me. I'm going to be disappointed if I hear Pete Alonso's name get called up with Toronto. I really am.
Listen, I can't tell you. I cannot tell you how many people. You know, I do a lot of coaching, right? You know that. So do you, Hav. I can't tell you how many dads, all right, over the past 2 years when the Alonso conversation really started picking up steam on this show, more than any other show in town, this show. You know, whether he didn't like it then, it's kind of proven right now because he's still not signed, that he might not sign. But it was this show first that really went deep and weighed in the merits of Pete versus, you know, why he might not be long term. Anyway, how many dads I've met coaching, hey, love the show, love you and Sal, you guys are nuts, but man, take it easy on my guy Pete. My son loves Pete. It's his first favorite player. Mets can't lose Pete. Pete's a Met. And not everybody, that doesn't resonate with everybody. It doesn't, quite frankly, I'm not talking out of school. I say it right to Sal's face. Sal doesn't care about that. I do. I care about that as, when I was a kid, I cared about that. As a dad, I care about it. Just hits my heart more. Doesn't make me better. It just makes me a little different. It hits my heart more than it hits others' hearts. You know? Now, I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm right for me. And they're right for them if they have the opposite view. But I do get it, and I've always gotten it. I've always understood the sensitivity to Pete. Now, if it was dumb contract just to scratch that sensitivity itch, no, can't have it. If it's manageable contract to give your team a better chance to win for a year or two, and you scratch the sentimental itch, get the deal done.
Yeah, but my question is, what type of deal are we talking about? You're saying like it can't be egregious kidding the crazy.
2 years.
Yeah, but like still, there's still money there that Pete Alonso wants regardless.
I mean, what do you mean?
Like Pete Alonso still wants to get somewhat paid, and they're saying that they only view him at a certain amount of money.
Yep.
So even if it was 2 years, say $40-something million, $45 million, that's not what Pete Alonso wants. He wants a little bit more. Are they going to be willing to overpay?
That's a good question. Now the onus is on Pete to do a little change. Now I said to Sal the other day when we came in on Monday and talked about what Cohen was talking to three people. He was talking to Boris. He was talking to Pete. He was talking to the fans. Now the fans, a plural, a faction. He was directly communicating as transparently as I've ever seen, as I just said, an owner do on a very important topic. I thought he was amazing at that. It was very well done by Steve Cohen, who's very good with that stuff. Fans, if they didn't want to hear it, they needed to at least get a little direction like, Steve, why the hell are we here? And he gave it to you. And he was also telling Boris, and you know, Boris, it's not happening. Whatever you think you're getting, you're not. And he was also telling Pete, listen, if you really want to come home, dude, you got to adjust a little bit what you think you're worth. And if you could do that, now he didn't say this, but as I translate, if Pete can do that, to your point, Hoff, and not think he's getting 45 AAV over two or whatever, something exorbitant, but if he could just have a slight adjustment, I think that Cohen is going to meet him somewhere in the middle.
But now I'm just looking at Pete Alonso's side of the thing still. Hasn't he already adjusted? He went from 7 years to 5 years to 4 years to 3 years. If he goes to 2 years, he's still making like minimal money. Like, again, the guy wants somewhat of a payday, and the Mets are still saying, nah, we don't want to pay you that much. Just come down to our level.
Right,
like,
well,
that's where I'm confused at. I don't think he wants to do that.
I know. Well, then he's going to be a Toronto Blue Jay. That's it. I mean, you say that he adjusted off to 7 years. He did, because nobody else came with seven. Nobody else came with six. Nobody else came with five. Nobody else came with four. So it's not like he's adjusting because he's just, he's such a, he's so honest with himself. He's adjusting because he's got no other choice. Because people are adjusting. They're making him adjust. They're adjusting for him. All right, so the adjustments are not within, like internally. They're all external forces saying, you adjust because we make you. Now, we make you adjust. Now, what Pete needs to really understand, and he's got to reconcile from within, the Blue Jays' offer is pretty good, by all accounts. It's pretty apparent to me he doesn't want to go there. Otherwise, he would be signed and in Dunedin, which is where they train, in a week. It'd be done. It would be wrapped up. So why I think just a little enticement so Pete also wins, not wins fully, but doesn't get crushed in the PR. Like, all right, I get it. I would do almost anything for that amount of money. I do a radio show in the woods of Oregon by myself for that kind of money. I would do it on a farm in Idaho or Iowa or the mountains of Montana or South Dakota. I'd go. It's different. He's got a different talent than me and you. That's much more, monetizable, if you will. But he still has a tick of leverage. But he's got to relinquish the leverage that he thinks he has. And if he can, and it's a blow to the ego, I get it. Not to his level, because I'll never have that kind of money. Most of us won't. But if he can just reassess what the Mets mean to him, what he meant and could still mean to the Mets, what he and Soto can do. Never what Judge and Soto did. That's let's not even get that twisted. Not even close. Just had to get that in there. I'm still a little raw, Hoff. Take it easy. But if he can look at all that stuff and say, I'm a Met, and Cohen can make him feel somewhat good about signing, I still think there's a chance.
What, like give him like a suite or something like that?
Nah, he's not suite worthy. He's not. He's not suite worthy. Neither is. I wouldn't even give him Soto one.
Well,
and
that's what you said. I think you nailed it. Like, make him feel like he's wanted. Right now, I really don't think he feels like he's wanted.
That's the point.
At all.
That's the point. And it doesn't have to be a full concession or an obliteration of the Mets' finances or, you know, completely taking their 2-3-4 year, because this is how the good teams are run. And I think Stearns is great at this stuff. Like, they're not taking their macro multiple year plan and just throwing it in the incinerator. Just a little teeny, weeny, tiny concession. So the guy doesn't feel like a complete tool and like he got completely played, which, by the way, he has. And he shouldn't feel like a tool. I don't mean that. But he has. He looks like, honestly, Pete looks like a chump in terms of the free agent stuff. No one wants him at what he thinks he's worth. Just make him feel a little better, and he could still be a Met. That's up to the Mets. And really, at this point, it is up to Cohen. Because Stearns, his line is drawn. He ain't blinking. All right, 888-808-1019. I want to get back to these calls coming up, whether it's the Pete stuff, whether it is the Hal Steinbrenner comments from yesterday about the Yankees and their spendings compared to the Dodgers. Got a little 3RQ coming up. I heard something. I cannot believe that they're even thinking about doing this. Something that Huff and Evan are thinking about doing, that if they do this, I think it might be the most reckless, craziest thing that I've ever heard anybody thinking about doing at this station. We'll get to that coming up. They're dead serious, and I think they're going to do it. BT and Sal back on the Fan. 11:29 is the time. 888-808-1019 is the number. We're throwing around a bunch of stuff. House comments about baseball's finances. Our conversation from yesterday with Yankee skipper Aaron Boone. The Mets and Pete Alonso reengage in negotiations. And I got to get to a little St. John's later. Rick Pitino, I mean, in a year and a half, has already gotten St. John's to a place they have not been since the mid-'80s. So we'll do that later. Juggling a bit, some football as well. Let's get back to you. Sammy's in Howell, New Jersey. What's happening, Sammy? How you doing today?
Hey, man. How you doing? Thanks, BP, for taking my call. Just very interested in your comments because if Steve Cohen is reengaging with Alonso, I'm just thinking, is this Cohen's effort to more so communicate with Pete on a more one-on-one basis? And I ask that because I guess as an owner, he's got to realize that, yes, the fans want him. Alonso obviously doesn't have a market. He has to realize himself. Spring training's around the corner. And my feeling is that, you know what, he's going to have to tell Boris to take a step back. Unfortunately, I know Boris has an ego himself, does not want to be put in a place where publicly he's been told by one of his clients, you know what, let me engage with the owner personally. What do you think about that?
I think I'd say to Scott Boras, that's too bad. I don't really care what you think right now. I'm the player, and you work for me, and I don't like the way this is going right now, Sammy. That's what Pete Alonso needs to do. See, Pete needs to grab control of his own steering wheel because he's getting driven into a lane that is really ruining his, you know, his Q rating. I mean, Boris is the agent. Pete's the player. Step in, Pete.
I definitely agree. Thanks for your comments. You know, I think it's just time for Pete Alonso just to reel it in. Tell Cohen how much he loves his organization, because if he didn't, then I'm pretty sure Boris would have had him under contract with another team. And you know what? As the fans know, I've been the one to express on this radio show that he is just a missing link. And you know what? If it is Cohen that brings him back and he has a great season next season or just a mediocre season, at least Cohen has been known now as an owner that he is putting at least the team first. And forget about agents, because agents are, at the end of the day, yeah, they're great for players. Mm. They need to broker deals. But you got to realize, as an owner, that he has to feel the pulse of the fanfare.
Well, but Sammy, I think, thanks for the call there, Sam. I think that Cohen's done that. This wouldn't be him doing it for the first time. I think this would just be another example in a long line of examples, quite frankly, of Steve Cohen showing us that he just gets it. You know, whether it's finally retiring Jerry Kuzman's number, which was ignored for years, or Keith Hernandez, or Doc and Daryl Day, or just, you know, being out there at Citi Field before a playoff game, you know, by the Seaver statue, shaking hands, which he did, and there's video of it. Like, I it wouldn't be the first time that Steve Cohen has shown us that he has a real pulse of the fans. This would be a little next level. And again, you don't abandon your business principles to placate fans, but you can tweak a few things in the thought process, provided the other party, which is Pete, provided that he does the same thing. Let me get Artie in Rockland County. Artie, BT and Sal, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I got to tell you something. When I was 14, I played for the Bronx Federation League, a league that Rod Carew had played in a few years earlier. Ken Singleton played in that league also. I was a fleet-footed, five-tool center fielder, and I didn't like playing any other position but center field. I didn't like the corner position.
Yeah.
The ball comes at you at a different angle. Jason Dominguez is a potential superstar center fielder. Why do they jerk him around, put him in left with in Yankee Stadium? It stinks. It's difficult out there. Then he couldn't hit. Why is he listed as a left fielder for the upcoming season and Bellinger in center? Put Bellinger in left. I want Jason Dominguez for the next decade, the Yankee center fielder, where he doesn't have to think about the angles, doesn't get messed up. Why are they jerking him around like they did with Jabba? You're a starter. You're a reliever. Put him in the position where he belongs. He's a natural center fielder, and he's got a world of talent. You got to tap into that talent. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
By the way, was that the league that was at the right by Yankee Stadium, right?
Yes, McCombs.
Yeah. McCombs.
Yes, I played there. Played in Frankie Frisch Field.
I got
yes,
you.
On Webster Avenue. I played. I was really. I'm a lefty. I'm only 5 foot six, so I didn't make it to the majors. But I could play center field like the best of them.
That was my position. I'm sure you could run faster than I could. Thanks for the call, there, man. All right, so listen. I agree that Dominguez's natural position center field, I think you're overstating a little bit what he could be in center field. I think he could be good. I don't think he's going to be like, say, a Gary Pettis or a young Griffey. Like, I just don't think he's that kind of center fielder. So that's first and foremost. I think that Bellinger is comparable in center, if not slightly better. And, you know, I'm sorry. Sometimes you got to, you got to play different positions, man. I mean, A-Rod was a natural shortstop. He came up, he moved to third base for Jeter. You can't slide 40 feet to or 30 yards to your right and play left field. And I know it's very different than playing center field. It's a very different angle. The spin, the reverse spin, you know, if you're playing center field and, first of all, the sun is a big problem in Yankee Stadium as well during the day games. But, you know, the spin off a lefty bat versus the spin off a righty bat, which is going to go to the right field line and blah, blah, all these things that matter. If you're not used to it, yeah, it's a little tricky. Suck it up. You're a baseball player. Dave Winfield was a right fielder and a left fielder. I've seen Dave when I was growing up, Dave played right and left. You know, growing up, the first time I ever saw Don Mattingly, he was in left field. Then he became one of the greatest first basemen of all time defensively. So I'm not like if he was like, I don't know, Devon White. He's not that as a center fielder. Hoff, did you have something, bud? You were looking at me.
I did, yeah. What's up? The Mets actually made a signing just now.
Hold on. The Mets made it's a very small cosmetic signing.
Well, that's a, no. You're right.
It's a small one. Let's see what I'm going to say. They added to their very lackluster bullpen.
Yes.
Okay. Who did they sign?
They brought back somebody. So
they brought back. Was McGill wasn't free yet?
No,
because he's not out. Peterson. No, he's a starter. What's that dude's name? What an endorsement. What's that dude's name?
Which one?
I don't know. You do the Rico.
So it's Ryan Stanek.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the guy with the long hair.
Back. He stinks.
No, he was great. Yeah. See, he was good for them last year. He had a rough patch when he first came into the team.
He did pick it up at the end.
But, and his playoff experience was great, and he did perform well there, too. So at least, which is a good thing here because it's probably going to be a very low contract, which means Pete Alonso is still in play.
A little more scuttle for
Pete.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's why he brought it up. All right, thank you. Dylan's in Floral Park with BT and Sal. Dylan, what's going on?
Hey, BT. Hey, Sal. How we doing?
Sal is out, but he's doing well. He's going to have a little eye surgery today.
All right. Well, I'll take over a little bit for him with the Mets fan pulse here. Imagine this. Let me paint the picture. It's opening day. We got Mark Vientos at first base. And of all the atrocious things that could happen, Brett Beatty wearing Jose Reyes' number 7 at third base. Bring back Pete. Enter Sandman coming back is fantastic. He's a good family man. We're happy about that one. And at the end of the day, Pete's going to be signed hopefully by today. Thank you, BT.
Listen, I don't think it's going to happen by the end of today. I don't even know if it's going to necessarily happen. I'd like to see it happen. I'm not moving mountains to make it happen. Jeez, I mean, you know, if you don't know where I stand by now on all this stuff, then you just don't listen to the show. Pete, let me ask you this. Hoff, I got to pull you back in. We'll get back to these calls. 888-808-1019. A little 3RQ next. Definitely something on Patino that you guys will love. St. John's is as hot as anybody in the country. And some football in addition to all the other stuff, the Hal comments and the Boone conversation from yesterday. Is there a move outside of the acquisition of Vladdy? Or Vlad? Vladdy.
Vlade.
Like, I was thinking, yeah, it didn't sound right. Vlade Divac. By the way, Tiki was calling him Vlad, like it's V-L-O-D.
No, Vlade, it's Vlad. Vlad the Impaler.
I know. That's but the way I just say Vlad. It was weird how I said it. Anyway, do you think
that there's... and Jazz.
Yeah.
Jazz.
That's the way. I slipped yesterday, too. Not with Boone, thankfully.
But no, good.
With Sal before that. Do you think there's any move that besides Vlad that the Mets can make before opening day that guarantees 35 bombs behind Soto this year?
No.
I agree.
There's nobody out there.
I agree. And that includes Vientos. Even I don't think Mark would hit 35 or 40. I don't.
I'd be happy if Vientos can get 30. That'll be good. I'm not expecting him to be a 40-plus home run hitter just yet. I'm just not.
Well, I almost don't even think he profiles that way. I don't want to put limits on the young man because I do think he's really, really good. I think he's going to be a higher doubles guy, higher average guy, and definitely home runs. I don't see him as a 40, but
here's where I look at him. I didn't think he was that good, but if he could continue this trend, I could see a Miguel Cabrera in his future.
All right, I take it easy, dude. Did you start taking the gummies yet?
I don't know.
Miguel Cabrera.
Start at third base. I'm not saying his batting averages are high.
I don't know how good he's going to be, but he strikes me as a young Frank Robinson.
Yes.
Vientos is interesting. I don't want to put too much pressure on the young man, but he reminds me of a young Jimmy Fox.
Look at how he performed last year. The guy was one of the best on the team. And he had to fight tooth and nail to get on that field. I love that about him.
I don't want to really ratchet things up here and shine the spotlight unnecessarily, but I see a little young A-Rod in the guy. I mean, Hoff. Come on. Just turn the volume down a tick.
No, listen, I'm not talking about Brett Beatty. I'm not talking about Mauricio. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about Mark Vientos. We saw him in the playoffs. We saw him perform.
Uh-huh.
Guy's got something. Let's put it that way.
He's got something.
He can hit.
I know he can. No, I know that.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On The Fan.
All right, so Hobbs is going to step in for Sal today. Who was off and getting those eyes worked on. We'll get a little more into Sal later on the show. Hoff, hopefully you came up with some good stuff. What do you have there, buddy?
All right, we'll start off simple, okay?
Oh.
BT, how often...
By the way, there's just something about this guy. I have no idea. We always try to kind of get off the beaten path, have a little fun. This guy could take me anywhere today, and I'm here for it.
All right, good. We will get there.
I got you.
Slow and steady, my friend.
Yes, yeah, wins the race.
How often do you, quote-unquote, stretch the truth to your kids, a.k.a. lie, in my opinion?
Yeah, I do it, but a lot, I guess. but I don't do it to make myself look better. I do it to reinforce messaging that I'm trying to communicate to them. And listen, I mean, they're in school now, so I could just totally say whatever I got to say. Like, I am convinced that there was not, I'm not just saying this because I'm not proud of it necessarily. I don't know that there was a bigger pain in the ass in school in the history of students than me. Whether it was grammar school, whether it was high school, I was a disaster in school. And of course, I present to them like, yeah, daddy was pretty much a choir boy, you know, because you don't want to have to deal with the same nonsense my parents had to. Somehow I was able to work around that and find a meaningful slot in life. But I was a wreck in school. A wreck. Why? How about you?
Well, no, but I think that that's kind of partly the point because you see how you were. You want your kids to be better, so you want them to... don't want to be a hypocrite, but you do kind of want them to, like... You see your mistakes, you don't want them to relive that.
Absolutely. Is there something specific you have in mind?
No, I just lie to my kids all the time. So
yeah,
I feel like I do too much.
You have to. I mean, I think anybody who says that they don't, I mean, 100%.
Here's one example.
No comment.
Do you even talk to your kids? Just kidding.
For example.
He's actually awesome with
his kids. So, for example, the other day on Sunday, my cousins were over. Anthony's cousins were over. They wanted to hang, but one had to leave. They were upset that they didn't get to hang. So all of a sudden, like, hey, we'll watch the Bills-Chiefs game later on tonight, 6 o'clock at night. I asked my wife, I'm like, oh, do you want to go and see if they were serious about that? My wife's like, my sister was probably making that up.
Uh-huh.
She was probably making it up just to appease the child.
Just to shut him up in a moment.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah,
so we kind of get through it.
Yeah, listen, you got to do what you got to do. Parenting's not easy. It takes a village. So.
No, it's not.
No.
All right, next one up. Okay, here we go. Look a little better here.
That's good.
In your BT, in your working history, have you taken more sick days when you're healthy or sick?
Oh, sick. I'm a machine when it comes to work. I don't mess around with that. Like I like to have a little fun on these topics, but I just got to keep it real. Like, I'm very proud of my work ethic. That's one thing that I really hammer home with my kids. I got that from my dad. I mean, I get my dad when he was still on the force, when he was still a detective. He had two other jobs at one point. Matter of fact, I remember, and I'm very proud of my dad for doing this. He just grew up different than I grew up. Like, he didn't have the and I didn't grow up, you know, like Richie Rich either, but I grew up with opportunities my dad had none of. Like, he just didn't. Single parent household, like, dad worked in a factory. You know, he had to carry the weight for his mom, who wasn't there for a lot of his childhood. And my dad grew up kind of hard. And as a lot of people did back in the day, he was born in the 40s. And I remember, like, very vividly, I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and I was on the stairs. I think I was going up to bed. I'm like, Dad, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to school. My dad was actually going to get his degree at Brooklyn College when he was a policeman, when he was also working in a personnel department, and he also drove a taxi for. So I get it. Like, no, if I'm not sick, I'm coming in. Why? Why do you ask?
Well, no, I just.
And even when I am sick, like today, I'm coming in.
It's funny because we have quote unquote sick days, but I don't feel like people actually use them when they're sick. I feel like we all, you know, grind through it. Like that's same thing. I'm built the same way. I didn't miss a lot of school days back in the day because my parents.
Well, I didn't mind missing school. That's totally dead. Oh, I love
my parents killed me on that. I had to go. Do you have a fever? Do you have this? I got a headache. I don't want to go. No, you still got to go. Yeah. So I feel like we grind through it. But then on the other hand, too, it's like, well, we don't use a sick day, so maybe I'm not saying I do this. I'm not saying I do this at all. But maybe, you know, I have something to do. Maybe doctor's appointment. Take a sick day.
A little mid-morning tea time over in May.
You never know.
You know what it is, though? We just don't have conventional jobs. So, yeah, we get like, and I don't begrudge those who do, but like so when my children were born, I think I missed a couple of shows. I came right back in. I don't know what I was legally entitled to.
I think I took 3 or 4 weeks off.
I definitely didn't. I know some haven't, and that's good for that. I just didn't do it. Yeah, even my wife last night, because she's like, I don't feel well, all right? And she's like, just call in sick. You're never out. Like, Sal's out. Like, no. I mean, no matter what, I'm on the air tomorrow. Like, I got to be in. So, no, I try not to to manipulate that. But I will say this. I'm not embarrassed. Like, I get 5 weeks. I'm taking 5 weeks.
That's right.
I have no problem doing that.
Let's make it 6 weeks now.
Yes.
All right. So, here's the last one. This is, now we're getting to the weeds here, my friend.
Ooh,
okay. All right, there's an audio exercise. Now, there's a video going around, but you need to hear it right now because we're on radio.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, do you feel differently about Martha Stewart after hearing her latest video at the age of 83 years old? So take a listen.
Hi, I'm Martha Stewart. What gets me in the nude? How about a strawberry fresh picked from the garden? Best in the hot sun. Honey? Golden amber. Makes a mess. Try eating one of these in a lily white bed. Can't do it. I love the glide.
This turns people on.
MAC lipsticks smell like vanilla. I'm Martha Stewart, and I only wear MAC.
I guess it's a new advertiser for MAC advertisements, and
MAC makeup?
Yeah.
What the hell is this world turning into? I'd rather be celibate than lay on a white bed eating strawberries with her at the age of 83. What?
You gotta watch it, man. Maybe
does
change
she look
your
good?
I'm telling you right now. I never thought I would say that Martha Stewart kind of got me going there, but yeah.
What?
I'm just saying.
Wait, now do you see the body?
Yeah, you see her. You see her face.
But she's not fully naked, obviously.
No, she's not naked. No, she's wearing like nude clothing or whatever type of thing.
Does she have? The grandma belly?
No. It's not her body. It's like but her face. It's her talking. Yeah. It's her. Yeah.
Well, okay. It might get you going, but eventually, you got to touch it.
I'm just saying.
I'm gonna take a pass on that one.
I'm just saying it. If you watch the video and you heard that,
yeah.
you may change your mind. You're going to have to watch the video after.
Well, as soon as we go to break, I'm going to watch it. And I will be honest with you at some point later in the show if I change my mind. I mean, listen, there are, especially as I get older, like there's some 70-year-old women. I'm like, wow, she looks good. You know, I really don't think I've ever looked at an 80-year-old and said, I know I've never looked at it, and let alone 83. And I know she has fun. She smokes weed with Snoop, and she's very open-minded. I'm sure sexually she's very open and liberal with all that stuff. But that, like, it just sounded weird. She's just too old to be talking like that.
If it didn't say 83 next to her name, you, I think, would change your mind.
I'll give you an honest opinion. Hey, good job on that, Hop. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Dave on the Jersey Shore. What's cooking there, Davey?
Love the show, and I hope Tyler's doing okay with his operation. Hope get him back soon. You know, well, I want to, I'm a Mets fan, and the kids love him like your kids. Well, not your kids, but some kids. I really love him, and I think that he should just get his ego out of the way and take less money, like you said. But I was also wondering your opinion. Do you think they have an inkling of getting Guerrero Jr., and maybe that's why they're not signing him, you know, because him and Soto were so close, good friends, and they want to play together? I don't know. What's your opinion about that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Dave, I appreciate the call there, Dave. We've talked about that. I mean, we've been on the Vlad stuff for... I mean, Ernest, with real, you know, focus, I mean, 2 weeks, you know, really, yeah, I think there's a decent chance. I think there's probably 50-50 chance he's a Met. He's not going to negotiate a contract and after the first day of spring training. We know that. So he's already put up his guidelines here. Toronto's trying to give away a ton of money. So maybe, unlike Soto, who was not going to mess around and negotiate during the season, you know, maybe, excuse me, maybe he changes his mind by a massive bag. Maybe the Jays get Pete, and with Santander and a few other good players already have, Springer, et cetera, maybe he has a really good year, and he's like, ah, you know what, I like it here. And he does re-sign in the offseason. Maybe he's traded. I don't know. But the first thing that he said, and again, I'm sensitive to it, and I've always pointed this out when it comes up, of the kids, but it's not up to Pete to incorporate in his thought process and make concessions based on kids' feelings being hurt. And that's unfair to Pete, man. I mean, that's just, it's one thing as dads for us to try to keep our kids as pure as we can, as long as we can, you know, and having heroes, and hopefully their main heroes are mom and dad, or grandma and grandpa, whatever, aunt, uncle, big brother, big sister, you know what I mean. But to let them look up to people and direct them and, you know, foster that pureness and that during those formative years. But it's not up to the player. It's up to the player to be respectful to the kid when he sees him. Don't keep walking. Don't be a jerk. Don't be an abject ass. But no, you don't incorporate that into the negotiations because, you know, 50,000 10-year-old Met fans will be heartbroken when, you know, if I'm Pete Alonso because I'm going to sign with Toronto. That's just not fair. All right, 888-808-1019, BT and Sound on the Fan. We will reset the topic of the day, the King topic also. I mean, no BS. One of the most disconcerting things, I really hope they don't do this. They might get fired if they do this. That Hoff and Evan, and I'm not surprised at Hoff. I'm stunned that Evan is thinking about doing this. I'm getting into this coming up next hour on The Fan.